Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
See your Mitsubishi dealer today for the demo drive sale. It's on now for the Mitsubishi Triton. Welcome to the Triple M Friday Huddle.
For McDonald's.
I'm loving it.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh yes, welcome to a pretty wet Adelaide Oval. It is the Adelaide Crows taking on the Collingwood Football Club. Friday huddle ready to go. Brodie Smith, injured Crow, will join us. Brenton Sanderson from the Pies. Judge Juddy is in the house. Huddle, we have a problem. There was a debate whether it's coming back. Apparently it is at 20 past 7. And the boys are here, ready to go. Damien Barrett, Chris Judd, Nathan Brown and Luke Darcy. Always nice to be back in your hometown of Adelaide, Darcy.
It is, Howie. And been a rough day for you today, Howie. I want to start with our host today. I caught an early flight over today with Howie. And he's normally got a fair bit of...
Was that to avoid Damo?
Pep in his step. That was an added bonus.
Yes.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. But down in the dumps, Howie. And there's no joy and no humour in... Howie's main job, which is calling the Big Bash. He's done a fine job at Channel 10, so feeling...
Really good job.
This is his main job now.
Well,
let's be honest.
It's my only job now, Juddy.
Main and only, yes.
Hope he does a good job so he can hang on to it.
What are petrol bills going backwards and forwards from your
so
head?
We get over early, and you know the traditional check-in when we're staying at the fine Intercontinental Hill here in Adelaide, beautiful hotel. We're here at 11:30 off the flight, so we get to check-in counter. Now, expecting, you know, potluck if you get a room at that stage. So we get to the counter, both beautiful girls at the counter say, "Look, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait. You know, gentlemen, 3 o'clock's check-in. We'll do our best, but, you know, probably a couple of hours away." Well, I've seen one of the great showbiz tantrums, Juddy, that I've seen. I am not moving anywhere until you give me a room.
No.
I know you've got a room, so I will wait here until you give me a room. The poor girl, who had trainee written on her badge too, I noticed.
She's been hanging out with Hunter.
It was sort of like Russell Crowe with a phone cock ready to go. I know you've got a room. Give me a room now. I demand it. The poor girl then sort of got on the keyboard and then punched one in and said, "Yes, Mr. Howard, I can find your room, but it's normally not our policy." Jeez, mate.
Two sides.
You've been under
the
stress.
Great blow up.
Two sides to any story. The way I see it.
Tell me that any of that is wrong for a start, Howie, because...
Well, no, that's spot on. If you're a hotel and you've got 600 rooms, I think your job is to give one to someone checking in. And I was quite polite.
At 2 o'clock.
And said, I think there's a room. While
a
my
touch
little
aggressive,
mate,
I would have
my
said.
My little mate here little was whipping around like a dog in the corner saying, "Oh, what am I going to do for 3 hours?
Being polite. Just said, "Juddy, that's the way the cards roll."
So, the kicker to the story is eventually I said, "Yes, Mr. Howe, we can find..." I said, "I'm happy to go in any room. It can be a broom closet." They said, "No worries." So then, Darce comes up. "Oh, is there a room for me?" They said...
Well, what I did say, now that my mate's thrown a tantrum and we know there are rooms available, is there a...
Do you want me to tell you what room you went in, Darce?
Absolutely.
They said there is only one room available that you could go in, Mr. Darcy, that has wheelchair access only. Would you like to take it? Which my man said, "Yes, I would."
No problems with that, Howie. I don't think there's any dramas, I wouldn't have thought.
Where have you got to in your life that you think you can do that sort of thing, Mark?
It's not a thinking. It's a hotel. You pay to stay there.
From 3 o'clock.
But yeah, I'm checking out at 6 a.m., so you can check out at 11. So you're just moving the hours around, Damo.
Was your aggression...
No, there's no aggression.
I think
you know better than that.
Luke's saying there was aggression. Was this centred on the fact that Channel 10 just lost the cricket deal?
Well, it certainly didn't give me a kicker at the start of the day, Nate, but there was no aggression, but
I was
we got our room.
I was embarrassed.
And Darcy,
on behalf of the huddle, I embarrassed that. I did go back to management and said, "Look, that's not a reflection on all of us."
Nah.
Juddy will be coming into town. He's got a brand that he wants to look after.
Do that with your boogie board, mates, not with the bloody...
Well,
exactly.
Like those ex-footballers who go up to the front of a line of nightclub going, "Don't you know who I am?" You've turned into one of those blokes.
No, I just stated to the lady that I was happy to take a downgrade, and I'm sure she could, in the 600 rooms there, find one.
Now, every now and again in your life, everybody will get sacked at some point.
Yes.
What did you go home and tell your wife?
Well, I haven't seen her. I haven't seen her because I only found out when I turned my phone on as I was driving up this morning.
She'll have to rein in the spending.
Well, we'll probably have to sell a child. I know you guys think it's funny, but I live on Struggle Street down there in Barwon Heads. I'll probably have to sell the house, and you blokes think it's one of the greatest, funniest things you've ever seen.
Everyone has been through that.
Ned put in a call to Channel 7 yet?
He bloody well want to have Brownie.
Who do you reckon your main accomplices are, or your main rivals are there? Is it Haim? Do you need to unseat Haim? Is it Basil? Is it... Darce knows nothing about cricket, so it's not going to be Darce.
I'm out.
Brayshaw's number
one. Well, that's right, Dame. I tell you who's sitting pretty at the moment.
But in cricket, you have multiple callers, as you've seen on Channel 10.
No, not with Brayshaw.
He'll just take over.
I reckon that's the reason he's gone across to do football this year now, when I think about it.
It might be between you and Haim.
Listen, all I can say is I think it was fantastic getting the opportunity to do it for 5 years at Channel 10, and if that is the end of the journey, Nate, that is the end of the journey.
That's not what he was saying on the plane.
No, not at all.
It was a little more pointed than that. In fact,
I'd like to know.
I'm feeling for him, but he did say, I'll back my calling in against anyone.
I did not say any of that.
You did.
I'd like to know a little bit deeper about why you guys got over here at 11 o'clock, because there's not a lot to do in Adelaide, let's be honest. So there's only two options. You came over to get away from your families, or you came over to do a catch.
Well, I'll tell you why I came early, and then he can tell you why he came early. I came early because I got to fill in for the hot breakfast next week, and they said, can you come in on Friday morning and have a chat about what you're going to do on the show next week? They rang me at 9 o'clock last night and said, Eddie's breaking the biggest story in the history of the world. We don't need you. And I was already booked on the early flight. That is why I came early. As opposed to my mate here, and I was devastated this morning. I just lost my job. I was feeling pretty flat. And I thought he'd say, mate, why don't we go out, have a coffee, have a bite, catch up on old times, be mates. And I got nothing from him.
Oh, this is my old hometown. How? I got a few loose ends to tie up over here. A couple of people I needed to get in touch with.
How thick was the envelope?
Normal business. There was no transaction. A little bit of charity. A little bit of charity work.
Judge, you're the best in this area.
He's got the look of a man that's got a pocket full of 50s, doesn't he?
Hey, Damo, in all seriousness, though, the cricket, we joke about it with Channel 10. 10 had only done it for 5 years, but Channel 9, who you've had a long association with, Brownie, you do, Juddy, you do now. 40 years
they've
been covering
it,
sport.
In our era, in our lifetimes.
Yeah, and it's a massive, massive. I know the cricket was, the tennis was a big thing, changing hands at Channel 7, but I don't think that's the soundtrack of summer, which Channel 9 always was. So
I'd agree.
My thoughts with all the folk at Channel 9 who have done a magnificent job as well. No doubt 7 will do a magnificent job, but it will be bizarre turning on Test cricket and not hearing Channel 9.
And the breakdown, Howie, have you had a closer look than maybe some? So Foxtel obviously has been able to give the Cricket Australia body the number it wanted, the billion-dollar number that it wanted to make the deal very sellable. So what is the breakdown for those who haven't...
Well, all the tests will be on 7 and simulcast, the way I understand it, on Fox. The exclusive content behind the paywall, for want of a better term, will be about 17 Big Bash games, but that's because there is about an extra 17. So you'll see on 7, 43 Big Bash games. We saw 42 on 10 this year. I think the other part of cricket which is behind the paywall, which will be the major difference, is the one-day internationals, is the way I understand it. So the way I understand it, 7 won't show those. So when Australia is playing one-day internationals or T20 internationals, you'll see that on Foxtel. And Fox will come up with a dedicated cricket channel like they do with Fox.
And here's the other issue you've got, because now you've got Heels and Tubby, they'll be wanting jobs as well. Jason Bennett, your great mate, he'll be wanting a job down there as well. It's a big competition, Mark.
Have some sympathy for him, Bernie.
I think we're discussing where people can watch the cricket, mate, and you're still rubbing in the fact that I've taken my kids out of school.
You've rolled over quick, haven't you, blokes?
I reckon he's playing it down. He's going to absolutely be in demand because he's emerged as one of the great cricket callers from the Big Bash times.
Thank you, Damien.
Good on you, Damien.
Sick of man up the back.
But it will be bizarre turning into whoever is broadcasting the cricket after we've known nothing but Channel 9 the whole time.
It will be fascinating, won't it? It's going to be a big change in the guard. As you said, we all grew up to Bill Laurie and, in recent times, Hillso and Tubby Taylor.
Ian Chappell.
And Chappell's been there forever. It's going to be very, very interesting. So likewise with the tennis.
Michael Clark.
Been a bit Clark. He might come back and play, Brownie, if you read the reports. But the Channel 7's had the tennis for 40 years too. So those that love their tennis are going to be very, put out as well when the summer rolls around without 7 doing the tennis. So
since I'm out of my own, I'm going to go further out of my own, since you boys are all giving it to me. We all came over here tonight and there was a little bit of precipitation, and I'm prepared to go out of my own here. You boys all rolled with umbrellas.
It's going to rain, Howie.
Mm. I reckon as an Australian male,
Howie, for someone who wears glasses, as I do, it's not just a good option for me to expose this ugly head to it anyway.
As an Australian male, there is no time in your life ever where you need to use an umbrella.
Well,
grow up.
No, I don't think there is. I think you can just handle getting wet.
It's a fine Australian male.
A bloke that doesn't use an umbrella, for one.
It's a new millennium, Howie.
This is a guy who takes a drug for hair loss.
Well, that's another thing. I've got a couple that I could list. Wayne Carey's just stepped in. One of the great Australian males.
And a
hard man of Australian culture too.
Well, I just heard your conversation. I must say, when I was mid-20s, never, ever, ever an umbrella because I was like a woolly sheep. Now, umbrella, because it goes very wispy when it's wet, Brownie. So I had an umbrella tonight.
Well, I'm glad you stepped in, because I got a few. I noted a few other things that personally I'm not putting it down on all men, but me as a Australian male would never do. One's wear an umbrella. Two's wear a baby Bjorn. just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm
with,
that
with
one.
You on that one.
Right.
Yep.
Juddy, Nath, you've got a lot of children, baby Bjorns.
Hey, just hold them in the arms.
I don't do a lot of Bourne time.
Or catch them
happy to roll the baby Bjorn.
All right.
You got to get in touch.
Oh, you.
No,
come on,
no
Dad.
Problems. In fact, I'll take someone else's kid to baby Bjorn now if required.
Well, you can get your kids where they are.
What if you just find a kid at the park?
I'm not sure how this is going to go with some of the
box. Good for that too.
Personally, as an Aussie man, I would never dye my hair in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, I've done that.
I'm with you there.
Yep. You wouldn't dye your hair, Damo?
Never have, never.
What about you, Ducky? You look quite brown up there at the moment.
I've put a little bit of a Keithy through it. A little bit of shoe polish every now and then. Doesn't
I noticed the man who got out the umbrella the quickest was the Duke, because his hair has not moved in the last 4 weeks. It has just been genuinely glued or gelled up to
I've got
has
good hair.
Not moved
good
at the
hair.
Moment. You've been doing something.
I've got good
Your
hair.
Brother told us there might have been some sort of operation taking place.
This is a very good topic, because one of our very own who's working tonight on our station, Das, just have a good look at him and you wonder why he had two umbrellas. He walked over here with two umbrellas. That's not making it up. He's looking very...
Brian?
Bronze, let's say. Brian. Really? If you see Brian out on the ground, if this weather sort of dries up a little bit and it's only sprinkling, we'll be down on the ground doing our stuff before the game, and you'll see Brian. Now, we hope that he doesn't get hit by a pebble, because you are going to see some drip marks.
Are we talking about fake tan? Fake tan? No.
Well, that was next on my list.
You work
fake tan. So Brian's broken those rules.
He has.
I've got a couple more for you while we're on it. I don't think an Australian bloke should ever shave his legs either. And I know, Duck, that that's one that is close to your
heart. Wax.
Oh, you wax.
Oh, that's all right. That's hard.
How do you go on that one, Das? Shaving your legs?
Yeah, there's a bike ride. I'm a cyclist. Get out and they do. That's a safety issue, Howie, that is.
I got one more for you, a final one, as well as not using an umbrella, a baby Bjorn, dyeing your hair or shaving your legs. A real Aussie man should never drink a kale smoothie.
I don't think anyone should drink a kale smoothie, should they?
Were you diner on that one?
I've never had a kale smoothie.
There you go.
Let me add one to that. I'll tell you one thing you never, ever, ever do. You never, ever rub sunscreen on another man.
That's good.
I'd rather get third-degree burns than have someone rub sunscreen on me.
That's a good point.
Now, you can follow this the Instagram stories, I believe, at Triple M Footy. We've got a photo of those that elected to use the umbrella and vote whether that is breaking a man rule or not. Ducky, good luck on the Seven Courage tonight. I've always thought that the Seven Network does a magnificent job of their football and their sport in general, and good luck to them.
I was thinking about you today, Helen.
Eddie Maguire blew a big story yesterday on the Footy Show. None bigger than the fact Duck has wandered in here and claimed that Brian Taylor, my understanding, is wearing fake tan tonight on the Network 7 coverage. Is that the way you understood that story?
I saw him in the lobby before we took off, Howie, and I hadn't actually thought too much of it until hindsight tells me, yes, he did look a little bit different. So we'll have to put him through the ringer, I think, tomorrow on the Saturday run.
Was it a brownie or an orange tinge?
Yeah, orange, now I think back on it.
Howie,
yeah.
One of my favourite stories ever from playing football in brownie, you know this very well. I think I've told Juddy this before. I think you know where I'm going. We used to run these manpower nights, Juddy, and they were massive at the Bulldogs. We used to raise $70,000 or $80,000 for the end of season trip. So if you're on the organising committee, you sometimes flew up the front of the plane, Howie.
So
it all went to a good cause. And it got so big, we used to sell out the Metro nightclub in the city.
I used to bring in the money,
Howie. So you're talking 1,200 girls.
The daughters of the West.
And the whole team lives to 40 plus.
It's a different era to us, obviously.
Different, very different era.
Except back then.
A lot of nudity.
And you wouldn't sanction it now, Juddy. No. You wouldn't approve. But so big was the event coming up that a lot of players used to really focus in and concentrate. In fact, a well-known player once did so many bicep curls just 2 weeks after. That's a true story.
Name names. Come on.
Might be involved at GWS at the moment. That man.
Leon.
So anyway, this young player turned up. We were playing on the Friday night. Manpower's on the Saturday night, Brownie. We're playing, I think, Collingwood on the Friday
Fourth
night.
Fourth on the Friday night,
the MCG. This young player turns up, and seriously, he looks like a carrot. He's gone and had full sun tan from head to toe, but then he's panicked. He's got it wrong, so he's tried to loofah it off. It looked like he had, it looked like an Oompa Loompa with a skin disease. It was in patches, it was orange. We go out and get
pumped.
Absolutely smashed. And the look, Peter Robert's a coach at that time, and I'll never forget, he came into the room and he was that white hot with anger that our focus had been on raising money on the Manpower Night. Tried to cancel the night, we'd already sold the tickets, and he looked at this young player and he said, "You turned up and you're orange." Jesus. You're like, that was all he could get out. That was the end of the Manpower Brownie, wasn't it?
It was, I reckon. The girls didn't like it for a long time because it was only the 42 players and females. There was no males allowed apart from the players, so it was a... It was a real popular one for the wives and girlfriends, that one.
Different time.
Different era.
Different time. Damo, let's get into a little bit of news before we touch on the Western Bulldogs and Ewan Das, which is a topic in itself. Team selection, a bit of interesting news around the traps.
Headlines out of the Sunday games, Howie. Hawthorn v Melbourne. Ryan Burton has been omitted from that team. They're saying it's still a throwback to that ankle problem he sustained early in the season, but clearly out of form. The runner-up in the Rising Star last year. Sicily's obviously back. David Mirra comes in for his first game as part of those transactions. Angus Brayshaw in for the first time this year for Melbourne. Dom Tyson out. Geelong, we knew Ablett, Cockatoo and Guthrie were out. They've also dropped Parsons. Importantly for them though, Mitch Duncan comes back. And amongst the official outs for St Kilda, David Armitage omitted. Josh Bruce has got an injury.
All right. Another big story going around. Liam Picken, and all our thoughts are with him, reported in the last couple of days that he may not play football again this year with concussion, Damo.
Yeah, Luke Beveridge quite open last night on SEN, Howie, about the fact that he hasn't trained since that JLT knock that he has sustained. As we know, he got a one in another's concussion in round three of the premiership season last year. It's a serious enough issue now for Luke Beveridge to cast some doubt on his return date, as it may not even be this year. He's contracted Juddy for 2019, so at least he's got the comfort of that to fall back on. But just life activities are a problem for him, and Luke Beveridge himself said that even the music being played in the club rooms is at times too much for him to bear.
You hear of blokes that do suffer with that post-footy, and it can just have such a huge impact on your life, from driving a car to obviously gaining employment post-footy. Yep. And you certainly hope he's A-OK, but if he's not, you certainly hope he doesn't push.
And he's one of our favourites too.
As is his beautiful wife, Uncanny Annie, that came on the show last year.
You speak about that interview, Damo, but there was also something else that the coach of the Western Bulldogs, Luke Beveridge, said on that interview, and I think we've got it here now.
There's no doubt that there's one or two who take some joy in having a pot shot or two. The important thing is that it's water off a duck's back for me, but there's no doubt that if I had one or two criminals in my family, there'd be a few flat tyres.
Ooh, we believe that is directed fairly and squarely at you.
Oh, do you believe that, Theo Brownie?
Through Das.
Through me. Yes. No, I don't think I can claim that one, but it sounded like that was pointed at Damo's direction.
My
car broke down during the week. I did not start for 3 days.
The Beveridge family.
The amount of people that have asked me this week how staged your conversation was last week to kick off the Friday huddle, can we just assure everyone now we don't stage it? I thought it was going to be a 2-minute stage conversation. That's what I thought we were getting into, and it was a little bit ugly for me.
No, but how? Not ugly, but you'd hope that would be the case. Because everyone's got strong opinions and strong passions. And, Damo was main line of thought was that I wear a Bulldog scar. I do that proudly, and as Juddy does as Carlton director. And when you have a place you're attached to like we are, occasionally emotions, boil over a bit.
I think as they do when you're a journalist and you get told you're talking about fake news, which is what sparked last week's stuff.
Truth hurts sometimes.
No. We don't need to go there again. We'll lose another 12 minutes.
Damo, have you gone to the Western Bulldogs and had a breaking of the bread this week?
Yeah, I would not normally have spoken about this, Howie, because what I do privately is as much to stay that way for the clubs and people concerned. But Tony Jones, I managed to tell in a Sunday footy show meeting that I was going out there on the weekend, and then again inadvertently he put that on air. So
what do you mean inadvertently?
Well, he thought it was funny to raise it on air, and
I would
rather he didn't, but he did it, I think, in a good heart, so to speak. But bottom line is, yes, we did catch up, Howie.
Who'd you catch up with?
A couple of people down there.
Well, what type of people?
Not Beveridge.
Right. And what was the overall...
No, it was Peter Gordon and Amit Bains, and it was just a good chat for about 70 to 90 minutes or thereabouts, and we had it out, and...
You were happy about it?
We both got our points of view out over that period.
Is there any point having those chats, Purple? It seems like a bit of a time waster.
You sometimes wonder, Juddy, and I think you're better off having relationships than not, because I think the respect element, whether you agree or disagree with the specific stories, if you've got a respect, I think it helps you, but... Sometimes,
so that was an efficient use of your 3 hours that day?
But they might say the same thing too. Did they waste their time as well? I think we got as much as you could have got out of a situation where both parties weren't going to back away from what had been
established. Who initiated it? Did you ring the dog?
It was in the diary for long before last week. And that's absolute it's fact, Brownie. It was in the diary before last Thursday night. So, in fact, it could have easily happened last December at one stage. So, anyway, it happened last week. But
you're in the business of telling stories, and often people don't want those stories told. And you have a deadline to do that on a week-to-week basis. And I understand that the nature of the industry is whoever loses or loses heavily, the story tends to focus on. How much of a burden is that for you to get a story up every week? Because sometimes I would argue there just isn't legitimately big enough stories to tell.
Yeah, and on those weeks, Dus, you'll see that I don't go on the show, either by choice or as a discussion pre-show, we don't. And I absolutely agree with you. There are weeks it's just not worth going on because it's not substantial enough to go on. But don't get me started on the specifics of last week's story because you know I'm not going to back away from any aspect of that. So don't put that story into that category, please.
Got something that came across my desk during the week that I'd like you to confirm or deny.
Can I just say before you go, you don't have a desk.
So let's get that clear. Christina set up for me at home.
Really? Christina's got a desk.
I was actually in at the Sports Bet office, and we have an ex-player who played with both of us and then went on to another club. And just sitting down, I was surprised because you went pretty hard on the Melbourne Footy Club the fact they didn't want to go on the SOG camp. Now, this is the story that's come across my desk. You were the team leader in one of the groups of the SOG camps.
I like this.
And you're about a day in, and one of your players had blown some hemorrhoids out his backside at one stage. You had to carry him. There was another player who had a leech stuck up inside his lip.
True story.
And at one stage in the middle of the day, you just pulled all the boys together and said, I've had enough of this. We need to boycott this. We need to get together. What can they do? We are going to walk out. There's a road down there. We'll get the first car that comes along and we'll get ourselves back to Melbourne. How can they stop us?
100% true.
100% true. The man who bagged Melbourne and Adelaide place.
No. So the difference with that. So that was a camp. Were you on that camp or not?
No.
You'd gone by that stage. So the camp was being run by the Special Operations Group, Victoria Police, reasonably hard at it units, and it was becoming a bit like Lord of the Flies. We were starting to turn on each other, Daddy. So after a sleep deprivation and, 15 hours of continuous exercise, then they got the boxing gloves out, and we started to punch a suitcase out of each other. So I said to the boys, you know what, let's not do the camp, but let's make sure they do it with us and let's turn our aggression at them. But maybe just to get the point across, let's go and have a little hike down the road and maybe disappear for a day. Do you know how many people stood up and went behind me, Jenny? Not one. Not even one. I didn't get one person on board.
The man who had the leech in his mouth when he woke up in his top of lip up here, was Brian Lake. Woke up 100% true with a leech inside his mouth.
Never, ever forget that. The place was called Mount Disappointment in the country because it was aptly named. And they literally, after not sleeping for a day and a half, they said, right, in there, that's where you sleep. And they threw us into this creek with, like... So Lakey was snoring within a minute. Then they threw a stun grenade in into the area. He jumped up, and the leech had taken that much of a joy in his mouth. It took two of us to prize it.
How does that help you play better football?
Correct.
It's a good point.
Mm. Stun grenade and leeches.
But we still talk about it to this day. So there was some experience gained out of it.
Always nice to see this man in the box. Unfortunately, he's not playing. It'd be good if he was. Brody Smith joins us. G'day, bro. It's good to see you. Did that knee in the first final. How's it coming along, mate? Hopefully, you're back out there pretty soon.
Yeah, it's going really well. Hit the seven-month mark last week, so done a fair bit of training now and doing a lot of kick, mark, lead and this sort of training one-on-one with the physio, and then joined in the warm-up last week, so I got a big cheer from the boys, which was nice, and did a bit of kicking with them.
What's been the toughest part of it, the physical side of it or the mental side, bro?
A bit of both. Obviously, the mental side's been tough now the boys are playing. I wasn't too disappointed missing out in pre-season. That was pretty easy, but now they're out there, it's pretty tough to watch, but I feel like I'm tracking along really nicely, and I've sort of turned the corner from rehabbing to building myself back up to play. So on the mental side, that's really positive.
Hey, Brady, I was just talking to you before we came back on air there. You grew up alongside West Lakes, where the old footy park or Amy Stadium was called. Your dad's a rusted-on Port Adelaide fan. But you're telling me this, and our Victorian audience might understand this, but the rivalry and the Port fans to the Crows, how long did it take before your dad would actually acknowledge that he barracked for you and the Crows?
Yeah, so we Port fans growing up and went to a lot of footy at Amy Stadium, and yeah, I just said before, Dad took 4 years to put a Crows polo on and come to a showdown. So it was always Brody play well and Port win. And yeah, being a Port supporter myself, I hated the Crows growing up, but love them now.
And Brody, guys who have long-term injuries will often try new things or try and develop a hobby to escape from what they're going through. Have you had a look at anything outside of footy or started anything new in your time off?
I haven't done too much. I've sort of, something I've always wanted to improve was my leadership and trying to help younger guys. So I guess now, it's sort of been forced on me because I can't play. So I've got the chance now to do a bit of coaching. I'm sitting on the bench tonight, so I'll just try and help the backs as they come off and give some feedback. But, in terms of off-field, I just look after my dog, and I've turned to the Xbox a bit lately, going back to the childhood.
What new hobby did you start, Juddy, when you were injured out of interest?
Well, I stopped playing footy then. So
that was the end, wasn't
that
it?
That was the end.
Got into drinking.
Hey, your injury gave an opportunity to the Seed, who's been a very good player since you've been out of the side, and he started the year really well again.
Yeah, he's been good. I actually thought he might get a run at half-back this year, but he's gone up to the wing and played some really good footy, and he's always had the talent. We knew he could bring it out. He's had some problems with his groins, and he's put that behind him this year, and he's playing really good footy, so it's great to see Cedo up and going.
Brody, for someone who's such a strong leader around the club and so well-respected, when the club's in the headlines for obvious and not-so-obvious reasons, losing a grand final, losing a key player, even the camp at the start of the year, when you're not part of what's going on a weekly basis, as you are with your knee, how hard has it been for you to delve into those issues and try and help the players through it?
They've probably been easier issues to help out with because I'm not so heavily involved in the stress of playing and worrying about week in, week out. So I can kind of voice my opinion a bit more clearer there because the boys are so focused on playing footy. So in terms of that, it's been okay. But
so you might have had a clarity of some of those moments and issues better than they would have?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. Yeah, it's been pretty easy to... Obviously, I'm in all the meetings still during the week and so I'm able to go to them, I guess, with a bit clearer mind because I'm not worrying about whether I've got a knock this week or am I going to play this week and that sort of thing. So, I still think I've been able to contribute in that area, yeah.
This obviously had Charlie Cameron go to Brisbane and Jake Oliva go to Melbourne. This year we've seen Darcy Fogarty have a really good debut. And your pick 41 was a local guy as well, wasn't it?
Lockie Murphy.
Yeah, is there a trend for your footy club, do you think, to pick local guys so that the stay-home factor is reduced?
Yeah, I guess it's become pretty big lately, the go-home factor, and obviously our club in particular has copped it pretty hard with some stars leaving. So, but it's really good to see local guys come in, and I think it was actually Andrew McPherson you're referring to.
That's
from
right.
The Eagles, yeah. So unfortunately he's had a few injuries as well, but just trying to look after him in rehab. But I think now if you're probably 50-50 with two players, one's from Victoria, one's from Adelaide, you're probably going to go with the Adelaide player because more than likely you're going to be able to keep him.
You got a ghostwriter doing your stuff at the moment?
No, why is that?
Good research, I thought, on that
question. Hardest working
football
director and hardest working journalist in the AFL.
Yeah. At least he's asking questions, not making statements, which is what you've done so far in the interview, to be honest, Nate.
You've pricked him.
Season's going well. He's got something to ask after.
It's a bit unseemly having a blue while we've got a guest in the studio, Brady Smith, who's
excuse
a superstar.
Damo,
can you pick this up?
Yeah, I'll try to. The Sloan element to that conversation you just touched on with the go-home factor, the change in his own personal life with Belinda having the baby due, do you feel that impacts adversely from a Crows perspective?
I hope not. It's a tough one, obviously.
They've got hospitals here, Damo.
Yeah.
From a Crows perspective, I said, Dowie, and I think Brody understood what I was asking.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, I guess Sloan, he said he's got decisions to make with Belinda, and he'll do that at the end of the year, but you know, we've got him for this year and we know he's going to give his heart and soul. He does it every week and then, you know, we'll cross that bridge at the end of the year when we have to. But we're confident as a club that we will keep him. So, just fingers crossed that he makes that decision.
Done a bit of research as well and you live with Rory Laird, I believe, and that he's got 30-odd nicknames and that you can name all of them.
Oh, there's a few.
That's for research.
can you roll through a few of them for us, Brody?
The research is a bit off. I don't live with him, but... we probably hang out way too much as it is, so we don't need to live with each other. But there's some abbreviations in there, and there's just some plain stupid ones.
Give us five or six, or
roll it out.
Yeah. DJ Deskman's one of my favourites. there's Dosser, Lair. There's egg, so it's either poached, scrambled, or fried, depending on his mood. Pikey calls him Wee Man. His reply to any criticism he gets is how much he's averaging. So last year it was 30, this year it's 40. So give Laird a bit of stick and he just get 40 back. but yeah, there's plenty more. I probably can't run them all off my head.
Shows how much time you've got in a footy club.
That's possible. Sad.
He's a star though, isn't he? He's a genuine star.
Oh, absolutely. I thought he might miss me this year, but he's just gone to another level. So, no, he had a really good pre-season. I think his hands got even cleaner and his kicks got a lot better too. So he's really penetrating. That was probably my knock on him. We're pretty competitive, us two. So I told him that he had heaps of the ball, but he doesn't really use it too well. So he's definitely picked that up this year.
Well, speaking of injured crow, Brody Smith on the Friday huddle, mate, how was grand final day for you and what did you do?
Pretty depressing, to be honest. It was more the build-up. I think the prelim was probably worse, knowing that watching the boys win and celebrate and then being in the rooms afterwards and talking about how exciting grand final is was obviously pretty tough. And then, grand final day, I went over and sat in the coach's box. I just pretty much turned my phone off. You know, the parade and all the boys were talking about how good the parade was and just try to shut away from it a little bit and try to put the brave face on in front of the boys so they, I didn't want to bring them down as well. But yeah, it was pretty tough.
Can you take us into the coaching box, mate, in the last 10 minutes when your footy club knew it was going to lose on the biggest stage of all?
Yeah, it was a weird feeling. It was pretty quiet and, to be honest, I can't remember it too well. I was probably just reflecting on, the disappointment. I went from really wanting to play and then I could see, I knew what was going to happen and then seeing how upset all the boys were out there and not being a part of actually being out there but then having to go out and put an arm around them. So it was pretty upsetting and, we thought we were in a really strong position to win that and win the flag. So, it shook the club a little bit for a couple of weeks.
We've got a new segment we do with our guests and it was a raging success first week with Braden Pruce. Name that voice. So what you're going to hear now is a list of either South Australian or Adelaide celebrities or footy players and you've got to name that voice. So here's the first one.
Yeah, I've said in a couple of interviews it's good having 50,000 cheer for you, not against you. It was just a good experience to get out there at Adelaide Oval with all the fans.
That's Tommy Duday.
Ah, nice work. One. Here's the next one.
Kicked 100 goals and but still didn't win the Coleman medal. Gary Ablett won it that year, which I guess when people say, were you upset about? I said, not really. I was probably more upset about losing Mark of the Year to him next year.
Mods?
Yes. Ooh. 2 from 2. Nice work. How good was Modru? Was he one of your favourites growing up, even though you're a poor player?
No, I didn't like the Crows, but he was very special.
All right, number three, here we go.
It was unreal to hear the final siren go and then the crowd roar. It was, it was a feeling that I've never felt and, it was crazy.
Fogarty.
Perfect. He's good. Three from three. Here comes number four. Yes.
Me and all the boys, all the Aussie boys, watch all the matches on the live streaming. So we wake up at all strange hours.
Nah, it's got me, that one.
Leighton Hewitt, that one.
Oh,
big Crows fan, Brownie. Big Crows fan.
Two to go.
I hope he's not listening.
Two to go. This is a play-up.
The main priority, in whether it's AFLX or JLT, the main priority is round one of the season proper. So it's still pre-season.
That's my rehab buddy at the moment, Sheeny.
Ah, oh, very good, very good. That's 5 from 6, and now the last one.
You'd never rule it out. I look to a 3 to a 5 year view. We've got a plan through to 2021.
The CEO.
Yes. Who was that?
Well, Big Prusy didn't get the CEO.
Big Prusy got about 4 out of 7, I think.
Yeah, how do you reckon Lake Hewitt's feeling? The number one Crows supporter in the history.
He was hungry, Big Prusy.
Clubhouse leader.
He was. Hey, Brody, thanks for coming in, mate. Hopefully it all turns around for you. You get to play in that grand final. It works out the way for the... Oh, Damo, got another one.
Just one. When you're talking before about you've moved out of the rehab into the preparing to camp back, any chance at all this year?
Yeah, definitely. The way I'm tracking at the moment, I've sort of pushed for that 11-month mark from day one, so I'm on track for that at the moment. And then once I get closer, it's a matter of fitness and SANFL, how much I have to play there and how the team's going, if I can get back in. So
late August, roughly.
Yeah, I'm on track to play footy, so definitely SANFL level, and then I'll have to work through the process from there.
Right.
Hey, Brody, as we let you go, you went on an overseas trip in the off-season. What was the best thing you saw? You're a big sports fan?
Oh, Super Bowl. Yeah.
Super Bowl. You went to the Super Bowl?
Went to the Super Bowl, yeah.
Well, tell us about that.
I was up in the nosebleed, but it was hard to see the game, but the entertainment and the atmosphere and the Philadelphia Eagles fans were just unbelievable. So
when you come back, Brody, can you do a thing for me and embrace the American me? So when you get out here on the Adelaide Oval, you do something special, say you kick five, I want you to do your post-game interview and say, I was on fire tonight.
All right, I'll give it a go.
Good, that's what we need in this game.
What a superstar, Brody Smith is. Great to catch up with him. What's happening out here? Because we're just looking at the under-16 girls game on at the moment, and there's a fair bit of rain falling down. Now, if they're trying to save money on the light here, Juddy, then this is a story that needs to be discussed because the girls are effectively playing in the dark out there.
Maybe a few problems with the big Tesla battery they installed.
Well, something's up because if they are holding back on the lighting for the under 16 girls here, now that's a miserable thing to do, Howie. But am I mistaken?
It's
dark out there.
It's half rat power at the moment.
So why? What is a possible explanation as to why you wouldn't turn the lights up?
I think quarter rat power.
I think they've had all sorts of issues with electricity here in South Australia. Have you got your man? You'd have Elon Musk's number in the phone, wouldn't you, Juddy, to ask him what's happening with the
battery? Not in the
plan?
Phone, Elon. No, we.
You're long on Tesla.
Very short on Tesla. Right?
Really?
Tesla go bankrupt.
Really?
Jeez. There you go. You heard it first here on 5CJ.
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 He's been working on that.
Yeah. I know we don't like to promote rival radio stations when we're on air, but it's up and coming.
Why are they going bankrupt?
They lose money on every single car they sell. They lose $8,000 on every car they sell. They lose a couple of billion bucks a quarter. I think they struggle. Once the Norwegian pension fund stops writing out a cheque to them, they're done.
And so, Jody's been pretty quiet tonight so far. We've had Brody Smith here and we've
had
a lot of discussion. You mentioned a stock and he suddenly, Tom Petrosky suddenly arrived in the
box. Tesla is going bankrupt.
In my professional opinion, Tesla will go down. No, you know what happened? Apple will buy Tesla or someone will buy them, but
why are they losing money?
They lose money on every single car they make, and they've never had competition in the electric vehicle space. Now you're going to have Merck, Porsche, every single car manufacturer making electric cars. They're in trouble.
Can you just give us your little stinger again?
5CJ. and I wouldn't be upset if that came out after I make a good comment tonight either. Just feel free if anyone wants to chime in with that, because I think it works.
We'll go with that.
Can we get that back in the studio? Can you get that? Super special comments brought to you by...
5CJ. That's good stuff. You never have too much of that.
Damo, big story broken on the footy show by your compatriot Eddie Maguire. One of the biggest stories, you said, in the history of football. Stadiums being built, all sorts happening in regional Victoria. I think the other states might have their nose out of joint, but for Victoria, it's fantastic.
I think they do, but again, this state, Howie, has had this beautiful oval probably putting the pressure on other states to do the same. Perth, we know, has had also a state government money pumped into its stadium. Bottom line is, look, the way Ed sold it last night, grand final at the MCG until 2057 is a key takeout. The Southern Stand, which hasn't been touched basically since 1990 or thereabouts, that's going to be redone at some stage of the next few years, but hundreds and hundreds of millions going in, at least $250 million to the Etihad Stadium and the Docklands Precinct. And as you said, Howie, the Carlton home ground, Icon Park, Victoria Park at Collingwood, Moorabbin, they're all going to get chunks of millions of dollars as part of this overall package that secures the venue for the grand final being the MCG.
Hey, this is a massive deal for football. Any way you look at it, it's incredible, and you automatically tend to go to what's close to home. And I spoke to Peter Gordon today on the Hot Breakfast back in Melbourne. He said, to quote him, he said, you don't ever have to worry as a Bulldog person about the future of the club. Your kids, and their kids into the future. And that hasn't always been the case for 10 Melbourne clubs. And if it secures 10 Melbourne clubs, as if, you know, someone who lives in Victoria, Juddy, that is a great result because there's always going to be rationalisation and no guarantee we're going to have 10 clubs in Victoria. So it's a big, big deal.
Huge for our game and future-proofs the whole game in a lot of ways, doesn't it? We often speak about the challenges with new sports and soccer and these other sports that have an international presence. But this is going to give the AFL financial strength for generations to come.
Damo, is there any discussion, probably a little bit early at this stage, but logistically? Because I recall that's why they had to use the move the grand final to Waverley, wasn't it, when the Hawks played the Eagles due to what happened to the Southern Stand. Any discussions about how they'll go about that with their two main stadia?
I haven't yet, Howie. I did ask you a couple of those questions, but they don't have answers at this stage. The devil will be in the detail, as it is always with such deals. But how they go about refurbishing Etihad Stadium is going to be crucial. I mean, they can't pull it down, because that's going to cost more than the $250, a few million dollars that's on the table for it. So they have to tinker with it. But the general plan is to open it up the way they have Darson and Brownie and Juddy with these modern stadiums, to open it up more than that stadium clearly is. Because that's basically the design from 1996, 97, 98 now. It's built in 2000.
Mm. Any budget for any ambassadorial roles that the Corp need to be aware of this early stage, Purple?
Are you wanting to give something back?
I'd just like to know if they're around.
I'm sure they'll be there for the taking.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
See Ed about contact with Dan Andrews.
Dan.
A little recycling role for you there, Juddy. Maybe get back into the old business or not?
My passion could be sparked again, Duke. I'm just saying.
For the right price.
It has diminished somewhat, hasn't it, Juddy, since the contract?
Well, the work was done, mate. You don't see too many plastic bags in supermarkets now, do you? I mean, when you see that sort of progress, it's time to take on a new challenge.
Did you ship it all off to China anyway?
They stopped taking our rubbish, China.
Yeah, so what do we do with it now?
Well, we just don't do it anyway. Next question. We're talking about the stadium anyway.
Is that a bit of 5CJ special?
Next question.
5CJ.
That needs to be played throughout the call tonight. Hey, there's some other news floating around. We are in South Australia, and one of the young Port Adelaide players found himself in a bit of trouble this week, Damo.
Sam Palpepper, Port Adelaide player, went out beyond a curfew, Howie, which is the reason the power team as a leadership group have decided to leave him out of this weekend's games. AFL still looking into the inappropriate behaviour that has clearly happened on the night in question. And the degrees of that inappropriate behaviour, Howie, is what the AFL is wading through. The way I feel I read it, guys, is that there won't be any extra sanction by way of a match missed. But I also say that, reserving the right, if the AFL has unearthed something that I don't believe it's got at the moment, that can change, obviously. But again, the woman in question went very public on media outlets in Adelaide throughout the course of the week, and she's got every right to do whatever the way she wanted to deal with it. And the AFL is obviously speaking to her and others around that night.
Darce, we get bits and pieces of it in Melbourne, and it was quite a big story in Melbourne. How big of a story would it have been in here in Adelaide for a young man like he is?
The biggest story, anything to do with quality players in this state. Being here for the day, watching the news, you just see this. But I think people quite understand that this town is, maybe more than any other town in Australia, is dominated by football news. And Sam Palpepper is a young star. That's a big story.
We'll get some more news from Damo before the first bounce. It is now time for... Is it breaking man rules to use an umbrella at Instagram at Triple M Footy on their stories? And 72% says yes, it is breaking a man rule. I don't reckon either of our next two guests would wear an umbrella, use an umbrella in the rain. Brenton Sanderson is down in the rooms with Rhett Briglands. Biggles, arms like that on you wouldn't use an umbrella, would you?
Well, we were actually scheduled to do the interview on the boundary, and we pulled it into the rooms just so we wouldn't get wet. It's torrential, boys. That rain came in sideways. Hopefully the front clears and the game is a clean one this afternoon, or tonight, I should say. Hey, Sando, thanks for your time. A couple of changes this week, in particular the main session with Taylor Adams and also Jamie Yeller as well, couldn't be selected. Talk us through those.
Yeah, unfortunately those boys got a couple of little nicks which obviously we weren't expecting, but that's just a part of the footy and part of the industry, unfortunately, and sometimes you have those days. And what we have done though is select 22 guys who are fit and ready to go tonight. So as you said, the raining, wet conditions, I'm not sure who that favours. Hopefully it's going to be us with the ball on the ground a bit more tonight.
Dugowie's pre-season's been well documented, but great to see him back in and let his footy do the talking.
Yeah, you're right. It's a shame because he's got so much talent, and obviously he made a mistake, but it's just so good to have him back there tonight. He's a really super talent, and I'm really hopeful that he's going to put a really good performance up tonight.
Hey, Sando, it is absolutely bucketing down here at the Adelaide Oval tonight. Is there any late change in mind? Big Mason Cox at 211 centimetres, not sure tonight would be ideal for him, or we're going to go as selected?
No, we're as selected. We had to put the... obviously, now you put the teams in 90 minutes before, and as Rhett said before, a really nasty storm sort of hitting the ground now, but there is a chance it's going to fine up a little bit. We're still going to obviously be slippery, but maybe the ball just gets kicked longer to a contest more. We need some taller targets, and with Ben Reid and Mason forward. Hopefully, if we do kick it forward to those boys, that they can provide a really strong contest, and guys like Varko and Stevenson and Thomas can get first on the ground ball.
Sando, your coaching box had a great week last week against the Blues when you roll Steele Sidebottom and Treloar out of the goal square and they kick goals back-to-back. It must be a big filler. Will the same role be put in place tonight?
Yeah, I think a lot of clubs are playing with that, I guess, that dangerous sort of midfielder a little bit closer to goal. We saw Richmond do it last year with Dustin Martin, and Geelong do it with Paddy Dangerfield. I think more and more clubs are sending a player almost to like a traditional full forward spot, almost one out in the 50, and most defenders are now following that player that does sit really deep forward. So you're right, we definitely had some success with that last week, and we've got some players that can look really dangerous there. We'll probably see Degoe there a bit tonight. Hoskin Elliott has also played that role for us so far this year. But yeah, I think probably, you know, Treloar and Sidebottom are just so smart, and they're a really difficult matchup when they go deep forward, and hopefully we can use that tactic a little bit more tonight to some success.
Sando, there's some coaches that don't like training in really wet conditions and others that like to get out there even when it's pouring down. On a night like tonight, it feels like it's good to have done some sort of work in those conditions. Where do you sit on that side of the fence?
Oh, no, I think you've still got to get out there and get amongst it in those conditions. I know, I mean, obviously back in Melbourne, we haven't had much rain either, so I can't remember the last time we trained in the rain and the wind and whatever. So I think probably both clubs tonight will be equally affected by the wet. But I mean, the players have just got so much talent these days, so much class. I think at times tonight you'll sort of forget that it is wet and windy out there, because the talent on display, particularly through both midfields tonight, is real top class.
Brenton, Jordan Degoe back tonight. How much have you had to do with him in the time he's been sidelined?
Well, I look after him. He sort of spends time with the forward group and also the midfield group. So he probably splits his time pretty evenly. But I'd say I've had a fair bit to do with him during this summer for sure.
And he's right to go. You feel he's going to finally get a grasp of what's required as a senior AFL footballer, given what he's been through in recent times?
Oh, you hope so. I mean, he's got so much talent, but it's just great to see him back, you know, in the black and white tonight and running around. And I know it's been really highly publicised, and let's just hope he learns the lesson and plays some really good footy in his future for Collingwood.
Hey, Sando, I think Nathan Buckley is maybe the most misunderstood person I've ever met in football. He's been your great mate for a long, long time. How is it back working with him day to day? What sort of form is he in, and how's he going week to week?
Well, it's always a tough gig, I think. I mean, being a senior coach, you've just got so much on your mind all the time, and I very much feel like when I'm at Collingwood and we're working, that I'm working my very best and hardest for him. And it's almost like when the school bell goes, then we're back to being really good mates. So, it's definitely a different relationship at work than what it is away. But, as you know, Darcy, he's such a driven individual. He's super competitive, so passionate about everything that he does. And when he does let his hair down, which is very rare, there is certainly a different side to him.
Sando, as we let you go, if this interview had been done on the boundary, it was raining, would you have stood under an umbrella, or would you have just hung out there and been a real man?
Well, I've recently shaved my head, so I wouldn't worry too much. But back in the days when I had very wispy, thin hair, the rain and the wind was always my worst enemy. So I probably would have gone under the umbrella.
All right, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Pies tonight, mate.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Brendan Sanderson from the Collingwood Football Club. I'm hearing breaking news, and I'm looking at Damo. He's shaking his head, so I'm looking at my man, Nathan Brown, who's about to drop a big bomb.
Damo hasn't offered up much tonight, but I've been talking to my South Australian contacts just out the back underneath the oval.
This worries me. Has anyone checked this off?
There is an issue, as we can see, with the lights tonight. They can't get them working at the moment. So at the moment, the lights, the big ones, aren't working. The inside stadium lights are working, but the big ones above us, they are not working at the moment.
Didn't we just say that 5 minutes ago?
It's hardly a breaking story.
No, but he's confirmed it.
We did not say that.
As a big newsbreaker that you are, now Damo will tell you, deliver a story, and then you surmise what will happen as a result of that. What's the follow on here if the lights can't get ready at 10 to 8?
Beat it up, Brownie.
Well, they need to get the lights working.
But if they don't,
well, you play footy. You don't play. You've got to start the game. This is footy training at night sort of stuff. If you ever trained at night, that sort of floodlight coming in at the moment.
They will not start the game if this is all the lights they have.
Well,
is that what you're saying, Brownie?
I'm not saying that at all. No, I'm not owning the story. I'm just partaking in a little bit of a story what I was listening to at the back.
You've eavesdropped on someone's conversation.
Damo, I don't reckon
that's the best way to get a story, Damo.
Damo, I don't think they would play in this form of lighting.
I don't want to be too dramatic, Howie, but you'd think it would be unlikely for them to, but maybe they've got it under control. Maybe they're just preserving light over here.
Well, you're saying the brandy's got it wrong, are you?
Not at all.
Maybe you should be going out the back to find out some information for us.
Well, maybe you could have told before you went with it on air. We would have actually got it certain before you
did. We need to get the Biggles down on the boundary at some stage because we can't see from the box whether the big lights are on. But basically, you're saying...
I reckon the Tesla battery over here has malfunctioned.
Yeah. It's the beginning of the end for Tesla.
Bankrupt already.
So what you're telling me, Nate, the around the grounds lights are on, but the main stadia
that's
lights
exactly what I said. I've already said it three times.
All right,
how stupid can you be? You're not listening to me. You didn't take it seriously, and now you're wishing you had, because this game mightn't go ahead.
Hey, we could be going home. This could be...
What time's the next flight out? No, it'll be all right here. We'll get Red
Bin
with
the
figure it out. Yeah, for the full amount as well. Now, Nath, you broke. You broke, for the first time in Huddle history, a massive story about the fact... What did you say about the lights?
They're not working, the big lights.
Yes, and you were worried the game is going to be called off, the fact that the major lights are not on.
That is correct. The internal lights are on, like the floodlights.
So this is a massive problem for the Adelaide Oval.
I think it is at the moment, yes.
Righto, Rhett Biggins joins us. Hello, Biggles.
G'day, guys. I had a chat to the Stadium Management Authority and there's no problem, Brent.
Oh, okay. Well, what's going on, Biggles?
Well, you know the purse strings of the Adelaide Footy Club are very tight when it comes to match day activities.
Right.
And so the budget can only stretch so far for electricity. And we even Das would know this in the early 2000s. We couldn't get him back to the club. We couldn't afford him. So we save money on game day here as often as we can. It's unfortunate for the girls out there.
So are you saying that this happens every time in a night game at the Adelaide Oval?
It builds the atmosphere. It builds the...
every game this happens.
It's at night game.
At night game. So every night game they have the lights turned
down. Wait for the fireworks, Brent.
So, Brown, how does this reflect on your story that the game wasn't going to go ahead?
Well, I overheard Dwayne Russell.
Brown, are you living off a source?
I've gone something
you've
that
got to
Dwayne
wear
Russell
it.
Went with. Just quickly, your things your men can't do. Biglin's there. He's got two rings on one hand.
Can you
roll with that as a man?
Can't keep going with this.
As a man, you can't wear a ring full stop in my world.
You can't have a crack at three jokes when the first two don't work. Third time you've had a go.
Well done, Biggles. Nice big exclusive that the game was not going to go ahead. Apparently, every night game they've had here, this is exactly what has occurred.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.